Hi everyone and welcome to New Every Day. My name is Carrie.
And my name's Jen. And on today's show, we're in part 6 of Wow, I didn't see that coming. So stay tuned.
Hi everyone, welcome back to New Every Day. So glad that you've tuned in. Mm-hmm. I say that every week, but really, I'm so glad that you've tuned in. And Josh, I'm so glad that you've come back.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. This is Josh Holden, a friend of ours, and we're just, yeah, glad to have you.
So, Josh joined us last week to tell us a little bit about his story, because we had just walked through chapter 9 of Acts, if you've been tracking with us. And learning more about Saul and his conversion story. And we thought it'd be great if we could share someone's conversion story. Because you heard ours. I was at a VBS, a vacation Bible school at our church, when the lady at the front said, hey, do you want to serve Jesus? And I put my hand up. And Carrie basically drove past a church with her mom as her mom was driving. She said, hey, mom, can we go to church or should we go to church? And it was over a process of time that she came to know Jesus. And we thought it'd be really cool to hear,
different.
Not from us, but somebody who had a different story. Mm-hmm. And so we invited Josh to come and share his story with us. And last week we heard just how he always knew that there was a God, but he got sidetracked in high school. And then around the time when he became, I want to say, a young adult, and started asking the questions about marriage and kids and family and what does that look like. And so those big questions came up, and so he started examining different faiths and how do they answer the questions. And so that's kind of where we left mm-hmm. off. And maybe you have a friend who is like asking those big questions, like what is truth and what is real and how does Jesus stack up against all these other religions? Well, then this is the show for your friend. So So we're just going to jump right back in. And
I know we had to cut the story off, Josh, right when you were kind of getting into how you were examining your life, like physically, mm-hmm. With regards to addiction and relationships. But then you start to examine your life spiritually. So as you were looking through these different religions, take us to the point where you realized that Jesus was who he said he was and who he is in your life now. Can you take us to that point?
Yep. So it was about my second year in college. By this time, I had already gone through like Hinduism, Baha'i, Islam, and just looking at the inaccuracies and contradictions scientifically and historically. And as I was going through which truth claims they made and what adds up, what doesn't add up, I eventually thought it time to take a look at the Bible.
So did you leave that one till the end?
Yeah.
Now,
I think it was
that?
Purposely done. When I was a child, actually, it's kind of crazy. You know, I'd rather have my mom tell this, but like, when she was pregnant with me, she had a dream that she's going to have a baby boy and that she's going to name him Joshua Jeremiah. And my grandmother she walked with Christ. My parents weren't religious. I didn't grow up in a Christian home, but from a young age, we grew up in Toronto, Hector Avenue, Christie Pitts area, Bloor and Christie. Getting into trouble, my sister arrested for violence. You know, I started getting into things that I shouldn't have been. They kind of calmed down a little bit when we moved to Innisfil, but my mom started to send me to Sunday school, and I found that I have a spirit of argumentation. So
he just likes to get the details.
Yeah.
The okay. Right details.
Okay.
So I'd find myself arguing with my grade 4 Sunday school teacher, and all the other kids were sitting there like, what's this kid talking about?
You're in grade 4, so you're like 9.
I'm
right?
Like all over the place, but I'm like, no, what about this and what about that, right?
Asking so, you questions.
I was in a sermon one time, and they were talking about letting Jesus into my heart. And I remember laying up one night and thinking to myself, like, the reality behind that.
Okay.
Because I understood the Ten Commandments. I understood like that's the weirdest thing, is like I always knew, you know, but I suppressed the truth in unrighteousness. So I was looking for an ideology that agreed with my justification.
Sure.
Yeah. So I started to examine the Bible historically and scientifically, started watching debates between Christians and atheists, and I found that although clever and crafty with their wordplay, the atheists would always take a definition of God from a general perspective, basically making a boiling pot so that they could rely on the audience's reaction in order to win the debate.
Okay.
But the Christians were always calm and collected, right? And they would rely on the evidence, but they would ask very important questions that I think any real thinker, you can't ignore, right?
Okay.
So second year of college, I stumble upon a man named Kent Hovind, who, I've watched this guy debate people like Michael Shermer, for instance, who is a famous biologist, atheist, and he's never lost a debate. And, I mean, he spans everything, just like atheism, Darwinism, the existence of dinosaurs, like the age of the earth and how they tell the age of the ice and the rings. And he brings up the evidence of the Lost Squadron in World War II and how there was about 200,000 years for these ice layers, right? That's how he would define them, by looking at the layers. There's 200,000 years. But we know that this Lost Squadron went missing in 1945. So there's no way that they were gone for 200,000 years.
So the mechanisms that the atheist was using to determine the age of the earth was inaccurate.
They fell apart.
Right, because these planes were found. Interesting. So it was those piece of evidence that you really resonated with?
No, it wasn't only that. It was a discovery of like skeletal structures of dinosaurs with living tissues still intact. These evidences you can't really ignore. So I started watching and paying close attention to this Kent Hovind character, and within each debate, in his introduction, he had already basically put all of the arguments of the atheist to shame. It's like, I mean, I'll never forget the debate between him and Michael Shermer, because within his introduction, Michael Shermer comes up afterwards and he's just like, I shouldn't have had that drink. You know what I mean? He's basically admitting defeat, right? Like, I have nothing. Like,
yeah.
So.
Interesting. Okay. So you were building this intellectual evidence in your mind, and what brought you to that decision then?
Well,
that your life was looking different, or how did?
So still in the second year of college, or my last year of college, 2-year program. I basically ask, because scientifically, from what I've analyzed in the scriptures, to the evidence that we have, there is no contradiction despite what many people say.
Okay.
I prayed my first prayer and I was just like, okay.
You hadn't prayed before this?
Not in a really, really long time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And I was like, if Jesus is the truth, I need evidence that will satisfy me in order for me to walk in this.
And isn't it interesting that that was his prayer? He actually asked God to prove himself to you in a way that you would get it. And so we're going to go to a commercial break right now, and I want you to be thinking about how you would pray for someone that you know needs Jesus, and saying, okay, Lord Jesus, would you reveal yourself to them in a way that they need to know that you're real. And we will be back right after this, so stay tuned.
Jeff Weston.
Yeah, man.
You're building a brand new, beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Yeah, I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? You need hosting. One of the things about a hosting account is you don't want to have limitations put on your website.
It's true.
How much hard drive space do you have? How many email accounts? How many domains can point to it? Well, we've got an amazing deal for you. For a very limited time, cat5.tv/dreamhost, for just $5 and a bit of change per month, you are going to get unlimited website hosting, unlimited email accounts on that hosting service. You are also going to receive a free domain name.
Ooh.
So your own .com.
Nice.
To put that amazing website that you've been working on
it's
on
true.
There. If you want to build a WordPress site, fine. Sign up. cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Just don't put Panama Papers on it.
Just don't do it. But hey, it's a great deal, folks. Best deal you're going to find. $5 and change per month. Go to cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Hey everyone, thanks for staying with us on New Every Day. Thanks to our partners who make this show possible. Go to neweveryday.tv and check out our partners page. And we're going to jump right back in here. Josh, you were looking at this intellectual evidence and building a case to know that Jesus was real. And you asked God, if Jesus is real, is the Son of God, would you show me in a way that I need to hear it? Because you knew what you needed to hear to be satisfied that this was the truth. So what was that?
So I was always attracted to history.
Okay.
And although I've seen elements of historical documents which collaborated the biblical study, the different books that existed, contextual criticism, I asked God, I need something that'll satisfy me. And that was the case of the resurrection. And I think Lee Strobel says it best, if you can dismantle the resurrection, then Christianity has nothing to lean upon,
stand on,
right?
Yeah, okay.
And it was the amount of historical documentation from the first century, from sources outside of, Christianity, like the way that the Romans perceived how Christians were and how they were persecuting them for basically coming together and raising money and selling themselves into slavery to take care of people, the way that they went through torture and they just praised God that entire time. And it's like, okay, then to look at the apostles and to see how Christianity basically sprung out in all of these different parts of the world, and it was all from a man who taught never to lift a sword, to love and pray for those who persecute you, And it was like that historical evidence for the resurrection from Jewish sources. The fact that the Jews, they don't even discredit the fact that Christ did all these miracles. Yeah. Instead, they said he learned the name of the Father. But, we haven't seen that from anybody else. And from the account of the apostles, they're all saying the same thing that Jesus is saying in the Bible. So from there, I picked up the Bible, I opened up to Matthew chapter 5. That was the first page.
Okay. And just the Beatitudes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And right there, I was introduced to Jesus himself and who he was.
Okay. You just pulling that up there, Jen?
I'm just pulling that up there.
So what about it, what about that in particular resonated with you? That this is who Jesus is, and
Matthew 5, what was the verse?
Basically the entire chapter. Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6.
Which is the Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah.
Where Jesus just lays it on the line, starting off with, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, and blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And it goes into the salt and light. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, then how can it be made salty again? And murder and adultery and divorce and oaths, all those where it's like, you have heard it said, but I say.
Yeah.
And just that God, Jesus, this sermon is just God's mercy, trumping everything.
But it was more than that. Often, you hear truth is stranger than fiction. A man dies and resurrected. The fact that there is evidence to support that.
Yeah.
The boom of Christianity from nonviolence, from miracles that were reported all over the world of this. But then it's the truth challenges you. The truth hurts, right? And I've never been challenged before, especially when Christ, he talks about, thou, you have heard it said in old that thou shalt not kill. But I say to you that if you are angry with your brother, and the verse about adultery too, that if you even look at a woman with lust, it made me see for the first time the way that God sees us.
Wow.
And how separate we are from that, and how separate I was from that.
And then so, like, did God lead you to a point of, like, confession at that time? Or, like, what happened after that? Like, you've got, here's who Jesus is, here's who he says we are to be with him, here's the evidence that he's the real deal.
I experience prevenient grace.
What do you mean by that?
The Holy Spirit came to me.
Okay.
His full presence. Like a bright light, and I'm just a speck of dust.
So were you, like, at home? Were you, like...
Yeah.
Were you just in the car reading the Bible?
No, I was at home. I was open the book, right? I get to Matthew. I get to that verse, thou shalt not kill. And I just drop, and he came to me, like the Holy Spirit came to me. Like externally, it wasn't internal, and everything that was I've ever done, things that I couldn't even remember. And like to this day, like it still kills me to think about it. But, like it was all laid out before me. It's like, this is the mark that you miss. And I rejected that. You know, I wasn't ready. Like, that was the truth. It was like, this is reality, yet I wanted to suppress that because I knew what come next. And I didn't want to make that leap. I was still in my...
So what comes next?
Like, what did you anticipate?
Yeah.
Because I read after this. It's funny how he led me, you know, every page that I skip. If you don't hate your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, yeah, even your own life, pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. Now, you hear that, and it sounds strong, but it's the fact that if you're unwilling to put God first, then you're not worthy of him. That's a challenge. But if we're uneducated on who God is, you know, and it's like, he showed me who he was in the character of Christ.
Right.
And then he showed me what's next. I rejected that.
Okay. But at some point, you obviously embraced it, because here you are.
Yeah.
Sitting with us on New Every Day, so.
So about 5 months later, after, you know, getting the sin out and just going back and forth, I came back and I was like, I can't do this without you. You're the truth, the way, and the life.
So were you trying to, like, make amends with people on
this
because you thought it was the right thing to do? Or
okay. Like, it wasn't until January. Like, this happened in August, and I had too much going on. You know what I mean? Like, I was still a part of the world. I didn't want to make that. I didn't want to leave the world behind.
Yeah.
But, no, it's, I came to the realization that this is what I was made for. This is who I am. This is why I'm able to do the things that I do. And it's, I haven't been glorifying myself in anything that I've done up until now. So obviously I'm misguided, and my ability is being directed in a place where it never should have been in the first place.
So at what point, and we just wanted to answer this question before we close off, what was it, or what day, or what was it that triggered the, I'm going to surrender my life? Like, what was it that you finally said, today's the day, or I've got to do this?
I heard the gospel and I understood it.
And how did you hear that?
Through a video, I don't even...
Like, just like, online or
I've
something?
Heard the gospel before.
Yeah.
But this time it made sense. And then that night I just said, you know, like, I was in tears. Like, I was just crying. And I prayed. I was like, remake me in your image. Like, it's not about me, it's about you.
Yeah. And that is what it's about. It's like, we were dead, we were blind until Christ came, and he's made you a new man. And he's forgiven you, and like, And each person who has accepted Christ has experienced that. And mm-hmm. it looks different for different people, but it's the same God. It's the same love. It's the same kindness that he draws us with and his mercy. And, man, I'm encouraged by hearing that story, you know, because you share how God actually spoke to you through the Word. But the truth claims that Christ made can also be substantiated by reality and history, and then with your own experience, and how you can testify yourself that you're a different person. And I mean, we see it, and it's amazing.
Powerful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Man, there's so many more questions I want to ask you, but we're out of time again. So, Jen, will you just pray for us mm-hmm. about this changed life, and, mm-hmm. and we will sign off.
Let's pray. Please. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time with Josh. And Lord God, we thank you that he saw the depth of his sin and realized he could not get out of it on his own.
Yeah.
And he needed you. And so, Father, we thank you for your prevenient grace that went before, that softened his heart, that spoke to his spirit. And Lord, thank you that he has responded to you and is choosing every day to pick up his cross, to deny himself. We thank you, Lord. We lift up our viewers to you that are struggling with the same thing. We ask that you would encourage them today to take that step of faith. In your name, amen.
Amen. Amen.